I'm going to preach a message today that I think a lot of people have been waiting on. We want to talk about relationships today, and so I don't want to waste too much time to jump in, but I do want to recap from last week, because I think that you're going to need some of last week in order to work this week, okay? So last week we talked about struggling with grace. Now, not that you have a problem with grace, because honestly, I think a lot of us really, really are thankful for God's grace. Amen. How many of you are thankful for the grace of God? We need His grace in our life. And if you're going to go through a struggle, you want to make sure that in your struggle, you got some grace to come along with you. And that is literally the favor of God, where God can literally give you and show you His favor and strengthen you to get you through whatever it is you may be struggling with. And one of the things that we said last week was we have this tendency when we're struggling to take matters into our own hands. How many of you did you would be willing to admit, that's me. I like to control it. I like to fix it. I'm going to make it happen. And so we have this automatic just inclination in us to jump in and fix some things, and we don't realize that we literally cut ourselves off from help whenever we do that. And so when we bring it to Jesus, instead of taking it into our hands and we put it in His hands, He gives us the grace and the favor and the divine help for our struggle. And a couple points that we made last week was that His grace covers us. And we gave the analogy of someone going out to dinner and someone saying, hey, I want to pay for your meal. I got it covered for you. How many of you paid for somebody's meal this week? Don't raise your hand, because you probably didn't. His grace covers us. In other words, there was a price that had to be paid for the struggle that you're going through. And thankfully, Jesus Christ, our Savior, He gave His life. He paid the price so that the grace could be given to us. Amen. And then we also said that His grace changes us. His grace changes us. When we see the goodness of God, it begins to change how we respond to God. And so now, instead of responding to rules, now we're beginning to walk into a relationship with Him, and the relationship can influence our lives. That's a much better way, by the way, is that the relationship influence you instead of a bunch of rules. Amen. So today I want to shift gears, and talking about struggling with relationships, we're going to jump back to the Old Testament, and I want to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Look at your neighbor and say, is going deep today. When you go to Ecclesiastes, you know it's on, baby. Now, if you go to Leviticus, you know it's a whole nother level. So today we're going to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes was written by what was considered the wisest man in the world at the time, which was Solomon. And he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, which was a lot of observations that he made. He kind of made an observation and shared a little bit of his input on it. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, which is where we will read today, chapter 4, verse 7, he says, I observe yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. And if you ever read Ecclesiastes, it's a very interesting book, but he says, I observe yet another example of something meaningless under the sun. And this is the case of a man who is all alone, without a child or a brother, yet who works hard to gain as much wealth as he can. But then he asks himself, who am I working for, and why am I giving up so much pleasure now? It is all so meaningless and depressing. Now, before you just like, oh my God, this is heavy today, hang tight, okay? Verse 9, it says, two people are better than one. Notice the tone changes as soon as you get to verse 9. Two people are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. Anybody want success? If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Just nudge your spouse right there. They know what you mean. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Let's pray before we jump in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life that flows from it. And Lord, that's my prayer today, is that the life from your word will flow into our souls and bring healing and bring change. And Father, cause our relationships to flourish. And so Lord, today I ask God for your blessings to be on this message and on this service. Let every person here, Father, hear something that's going to cause their faith to grow, that's going to cause them to see you maybe like they've never have before. And so Lord, I thank you for our time that we have together, Father. Let it be life-giving, let it be life-changing. Help me to speak this message, God, in the way that you want it spoken. In Jesus' name, amen and Amen. Relationships. He's talking about being alone. He's talking about having someone right there with you. It's a very scary place to be all alone. You ever seen someone, maybe you went to a wedding or something before, you ever seen that person that just kind of works their way out onto the dance floor, but they're by themselves? You ever seen that person? And they just love to dance. And I don't know, maybe they had a couple drinks or something, but there's always that one person. I went to an event not too long ago, and it was actually for the Making Miracles group home. And so I was at this event, and there was this young girl out there, and she just, like, nobody was on this dance floor. She just decided, well, if nobody's going to go, I'm going to go. And she just kind of goes out there, and the music is playing, and I mean, she just, and I'm just sitting there like, wow, she's either bold or she's crazy. But I'm telling you, she was just out there just dancing, and I begin to think of thoughts, you know, like, this is crazy. I would never do that. Like, I don't have dance moves, which you just saw. Like, I'm told to stay away from that stuff. I struggle with slow dancing with my wife. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you would think if I could play a little drums, I would have some rhythm. I got none when it comes to dancing. I don't have those moves. Matt Turk got all the dance moves. And so, at least I heard that. Anyway, he's turning red. I like that. So she's out there just dancing by herself. And after a while, when no one else would come out there, she kind of caught herself. So instead of walking off the dance floor, she rounded up children to come and join her. And I begin to think about this because it's a lonely thing to be dancing by yourself. It's a lonely thing to be watching a ball game by yourself and your team come back and win and you have no one to celebrate with. That is a depressing thing. But yet there's so many people who are living their life and they're island dancing. They're by themselves and they're trying to figure out what's wrong with everybody. Just like the girl on the dance floor. What's wrong with everybody? Where y'all at? Why are you not out here dancing? And maybe it has nothing to do with them. Maybe it's got something to do with her. I don't know. But it's a scary thing to be all alone. Just nudge your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're sitting right there today. Glad you're sitting by me. We were meant to do life together. With other people, and sometimes people are interesting. Sometimes they're great, they're outstanding, they're fun, and sometimes they're just a little complicated. And if you're thinking about it, it might be you, okay? Just trying to take the burden off of the person sitting next to you. I care about the person sitting next to you today. I do. So let's look at a few relationship realities here. These are a few things that I think we got to understand going into this. Because for some reason, our ideas of relationships have been skewed and some of it has been changed because of social media. And I know social media is a big influence in our world, but I do not believe that they should be the defining factor for relationships. Amen? I believe that there are some better foundations that are out there in the Word of God than there are on social media. And so here's a few relationship realities. The first thing is this, is that relationships are essential. Can I hear an amen there? Relationships are essential. They're very essential to our life. And what did we read here earlier? For two are better than one, for they can help each other what? Succeed. And so we need other people in our lives, and there are key relationships that you need in your life because you cannot do it all by yourself. You cannot become everything God intended for you to be all by yourself. And so we need some relationships. Now, here's another reality that you have to know about relationships. They're not all the same. And I think that's one that complicates us. That's the one that gets to us because we just assume that every single relationship is going to have all the same qualities, all the same characteristics, all the same thing. And that is just simply not true at all. And I think if we can start getting past that hurdle, our understandings and even our appreciations of relationship are going to improve. Amen. I need you to know that my relationship with my wife is way different than my relationship with anybody else in here. Amen. It's just way different. No relationships are the same. And so let's grab that reality and go ahead and apply it to our life. But here's another one. Relationships are enjoyable. Can I hear an amen? Relationships are enjoyable. And some of you are like, yeah, but hold on. We're going to go there. Relationships are extremely enjoyable whenever you have the ability and the possibility of sharing moments together with somebody that you truly, truly love, you truly, truly enjoy. There's just something about it that you are happy that you were able to share that moment with that person. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All right, I'm just trying to make sure we're on the right page here. Here's another one, and this one's tough. Relationships, some relationships may not last forever. And that's a tough one. Some relationships just may not last forever. And we have to understand that it's a reality. Because there are some relationships that you might be holding on to that you no longer need to have in your life anymore. That BFF from back in the day, I know y'all are BFFs, and y'all did that big trip that one time, and it was a lot of fun. But that BFF could be keeping you from doing something that God wants you to do. Amen? So relationships may not last forever. And here's another reality. Relationships don't just happen. We have to work on them. We have to work with them. And we have to work for them. They don't just happen because, hey, you be my friend, I be your friend, let's do life together forever. It's going to take some work because there are two different people involved. In your marriage, I need you to know that there are two different people involved. And let me give this to you today. Your relationship with your children, there's a different person involved. You might be daddy and there's that little girl and you feel like you got her wrapped around your finger and actually she's got you wrapped around her little finger, all right? But you have to understand you're raising another little lady in your house and that's different than a man. And so there's going to be a point of conflict at times. Anybody ever been there before? If you're a mama raising a son, it's the same thing. You just feel like, oh, that's my sweet little baby and then they turn 15. Come on, somebody. That's good preaching, and we ain't even got started yet. We have to reach the point of understanding, though, and this is so key, is that people are different, and if people are different, that's going to affect the relationships. I'm a different person than my wife. I'm a man, she's a woman. I come with a whole set of ideas and opinions, and so does she. And so how are we going to make this work? Because if we're two different people with strong personalities, there is a great opportunity for some good fights. Amen? And I need you to quit being afraid of a fight, because if you can fight for the right things, it's good. Amen. Let's talk about some important relationships. I just want to hit a few key things before we start dealing with the struggle, okay? Some important relationships that we need to have in our life. The first, and I believe the most important relationship in your life, is your relationship with God. That is the most important relationship that you can have in your life, is your relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because that is the foundation of love. That is the foundation, really, of good relationships. It's Jesus Christ. It's the rock of Christ Jesus. The Bible says if we will obey him, it's like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. And when the storms come, it didn't say if, it says when the storm comes, the house will stand. And if our relationships are going to make it, I'm feeling a little Michael W. Smith moment right here. We might need to join hands and sway back and forth. Friends of friends forever, if the Lord's the Lord of them. Come on, some of you are feeling it right there. Now, some of you want to pull out a cigarette lighter. We don't do that at church. Just not right. Put that up. I sang. There you go. You see how you sneak that in there at church? Relationship with Jesus, most important relationship that you can have. I believe the second most important relationship that you can have in your life is who you're married to. It's who you're married to. It's the biggest choice that you ever make, who you decide to spend the rest of your life with. If you're single in here today, listen, be smart about it. Use some wisdom about it. Make sure that your relationship with God is where it needs to be so that you can make decisions on who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. Because I just need you to know that marriage at times could be a challenge. It could be a huge blessing, but also it can be a challenge. And sometimes the challenges that we face in marriage is because of the decisions that we made back in the day. Come on, y'all want to just forget about that stuff right now. Am I right? Just put that behind you. Here's another important relationship, your family. Your family is a very important relationship because at the end of the day, when things are happening to you in your life, who's going to be there? Who's going to be around you? Your family. Now, before I go any further, this was so interesting. Most of the struggles that we have with relationships are these first three. We hadn't even got to our good friends yet. We hadn't even got to the people that we're hanging out with, you know, and going to do all these things with. It's the first three that we're struggling in relationship with. Our relationship with God, we struggle with it because of some inconsistencies, because of our busyness, because of a lot of things. Our relationship with God struggles. Our marriages struggle. And why do they struggle? Most of the time, it's because our life is out of order. And we're blaming each other. It's your fault. You're doing too much. You're not doing enough. I wish you would do that. I wish you would do that. I wish you would stop doing that. I wish you would stop doing that. And we're just going around and around in this circle? Are you seeing these struggles that we're having? It's because things get out of order. When that relationship with God isn't working, it's going to affect every other relationship in your life. Every one of them. Relationship with your family. How is that going? How's your relationship with your children? Let's flip it. How is your children's relationship with you? How's that going? Is it struggling? Here's another important relationship I think we need to have. Our church family. We need a church family. Do you know one day Jesus is going to return? He's going to return to this earth. And guess who he's coming for? He's coming for his church. And we are his church. Those who have made that commitment to Christ and allowed him to come and save them of their sins, that is the church. And when he returns, he's coming for his church. How is your relationship with your church family? Do you have a relationship with your church family? Here's another important relationship I think you need, is a good friend. Notice I didn't say a bunch of friends, I said a good friend. Do you have a good friend that can talk you off the ledge when you're about to make the dumb decision? Do you have that good friend that's going to stand with you and help you to keep believing even when you feel like giving up? Do you have that friend? Do you have the kind of friend that can say, hey man, I think you're pushing it. I think you're going a little bit too far. Do we have those friends, or are we just surrounding ourselves with people who like to do things together? Because if we're going to have success in life, we're really going to enjoy all that God has for us, we have to understand that we need the right people around us in order to do it. And that's why it's so important that we understand that in our relationships that we're going for the right things instead of everything. Let me say that again. In our friendships, that we're going for the right things instead of everything. Because so many times we're looking for somebody who's got everything to come and supplement for that one thing that we think that we can't find and that we can't have. And so because it looks like they have everything, let me become friends with them. And then when everything they have doesn't relate to the nothing that I have, then there's conflict. And now I'm mad at you because you can't give me what I need. And it looks like you got everything that I need. Are you fill in the drama? These are the kinds of things that happen in these relationships, and it just really becomes a headache. Amen? It just turns into drama. It turns into all this mess, and that's why we feel like dancing on the dance floor by ourselves, because we can move and groove however we want, and no one can dictate what we're doing. No one can control it, but yet we're out there, we're dancing by ourselves, and you need a good friend to come up to you and say, bro, you look strange. He's wearing a Florida Gator shirt. I had to come over there. We love you, brother. We're praying for you. Reach your hand. So why do relationships struggle? Let's break this down. Why do relationships struggle? I just want to run through these. First one is this. Unhealthy souls. There's some unhealthy souls. Let me just say it like this. If you aren't okay, then the relationship isn't going to be okay. Like, you have to know this. If you're not okay, you can't just expect, oh, it's great because I met this person. You bring something to the relationship, they bring something to the relationship. You put it together, it's the sum of both of you put together. So there's some unhealthy stuff in your soul, it's going to show up in your relationship as well. And this is usually the stuff that causes the unforgiveness. Usually there's a root of unforgiveness there. And sometimes we think it's them, but most of the time it's us. Okay? How's your soul? How's your soul? How are things in your life? And when you look back and you look at the things that has affected you, have you healed from those wounds from your past? Now listen, I'm not trying to go Dr. Phil on you today. But I have learned enough. I have learned enough through the years of counseling people and even dealing with my own stuff to know that there are things from our past that has a tendency to affect our present. And it shows up most of the time in our relationships, okay? So our relationships can struggle because of some unhealthy souls. Here's another one. Our relationships struggle because, and I had a problem explaining this one because it's a lot. It's expectations, but it's unmet expectations, unspoken expectations, and unreal expectations. Just all in one. Just wrap it all together in one. If you're going to say expectations, it's some unmet expectations. I just expected that you would do this. Well, you never told me that. There's the unspoken side. And then there's the unreal. I just thought you were always going to do this. When those things don't happen, it causes some struggles in our relationships. Now, some of you, the way you're hearing this, you're just hearing it with you and your spouse in mind. But you also need to think about it with you and your children. You also need to think about it with people that you do life with every day. Because there are some people that you think are ticking you off that are not really ticking you off. It's you. Now, I'm not going to tell you to elbow your neighbor and tell them it's you, but you want to. But I don't want to get you in trouble, because if your wife's sitting next to you or your husband, then that'll be a car ride home. Here's the thing with expectations. Watch this. Most of the time, we don't know what we want and expect someone to give it to us. We don't know what we want, but because I'm in a relationship with you, I just expect you to give it to me. And when you don't give it to me, we need to talk. And I don't know how to talk about it because I don't know what I want, but I know what you need to do. That's a weird moment right there. Some of you are letting that sink in. Or we expect someone to give us something that they don't have or something that they can't give us. And so watch this. We say things like this. I won't be happy if I can't have that. And too many times we're expecting a person to give us something that only God can give us. That's why that relationship with Jesus is so important. If not, listen, we'll take advantage of people right there in our own family, our spouses. We'll take advantage of our kids. We'll start taking advantage of our church family. We'll start taking advantage of a lot of people that we don't need to be taken advantage of because we're trying to get a source of life from them that can only come from Him. And most of the time, the reason that stuff is out of order is because our souls are unhealthy. Because something that happened, we're trying to find a remedy from that person for what that last person did to us. Are you grabbing this today? So we got unhealthy souls. We got these unspoken, unmet, unreal expectations. And then we have communication problems. That'll create a struggle. And communication problems, it's what we're saying is what we're not saying. It's how we're saying what we're saying. It's what you're saying too much of, too. All of this, and you can feel it in the room now because it's like, oh, man. Yeah. At first you were talking about them. Now you're messing with me. Back off, bro. What about some selfish ambition? Too much of me is hurting the we. Too much of me, it's hurting the we. Comparison. Looking what others have, and I want that. Looking at their marriage, and I want that. Looking at their children, and want my kids to act like their kids act. Looked at their friendship, and I wish I had that with my friend. My friend don't care about me. All they do is this and that. We're comparing. And because of that, we're drawing the picture of success, saying that if my relationship doesn't look exactly like that, it's not successful. And all we're doing is, all we're doing is rolling out the red carpet for failure in our relationships whenever we compare. Amen? Can we stop comparing marriages? Here's why. Because look, dude, I'm different than you. And my wife is different than your wife. And we are different than y'all. So don't expect what works for us to work for y'all, okay? And I'm going southern with the y'all thing. Cynthia said Andalusia, Alabama. And so I'm just going to piggyback off of that. We're different. And I'm telling you, we're having a hard time realizing that we're different. And comparison, it puts us in the place to try to emulate and imitate what somebody else has because it gives the appearance that they are happy. And sometimes we just have to understand that sometimes they look happy because they're healthy. Not just because of the big trip that they took. And not just because she got the new car or they built the big house or because their kids are running around in those $500 new shoes that just came out. I wouldn't do that, by the way. Son, don't ask. It's not going to happen. Here's another reason why relationships struggle. Not only is it comparison, but also just some bad decisions. Just made some bad decisions. Anybody ever made a bad decision before? It doesn't just affect you. It affects them as well. It affects everyone that is around you whenever you make a bad decision. And this creates struggles because now somebody is worried about you doing that thing again. And even though we want them to trust, and even though we want them to forgive, there's this thing inside them that makes them wonder, if you were ever put in that position again, would you do that again? And can you see how that can affect the relationship from here on moving forward? This is why, again, the unhealthy souls thing is so important, because relationships need healing if they're going to be healthy. Another reason why relationships struggle is a lack of order in our lives. A lack of order. Now, some of you, you would take this so far off the deep end with structure that you would micromanage every second of your day. Like, you would be scheduling, like, exact minutes of time that you would spend with your wife and your husband based off of this ratio that you read on some link on Facebook or something like that. And you would just be organizing it to the T, and you'd be like, oh, okay, we start in 5, 4, 3, you're ready, 2, 1. Okay, how are you doing today? According to that thing, we have 39 minutes and 27 seconds, so we're out of order. We're all over the place. We're busier than ever, but yet we say we're connected more than ever because of these social devices. And maybe socially we're connected, but relationally we're not. Come on, relationally we're not. We're not having meaningful conversations. We're not laughing together. Come on, we're not laughing together. How are we going to heal the relationship if we're not connecting? And then I think another reason why we struggle is we don't know what we're doing. We don't know what in the world we're doing. Maybe we never saw a good example of it. Maybe we just lack some of the skills relationally in order to make the relationship work out. That's why I said earlier that relationships, they take some work. You got to work on them. You got to work with them. You got to work for them. They take some work. But I have found this, that relationships are really, really some of the most valuable things in your life. And it's amazing how hard we will work for temporary things. And how hard we will work for a house, and how hard we will work for a car, and all of the material stuff. But the things that we're trying to give to those people, we're not working for that. Come on, are we feeling it a little bit here today? Don't nudge nobody right now. This is for all of us. This is why our relationships are struggling. And I want to say this real quick before I jump into the really practical part of the message. Especially for those who have gone through marriage, and maybe you did have a divorce. Maybe there were some things. I want you to be careful how you hear this message, because it's very easy for condemnation to begin to leak in and make you just feel like you didn't do what you needed to do. And that stuff is in your past, and you need to treat it as your past and understand that you're in a moment right now where it's a from now on moment. And learn that from now on, I can make good decisions with how I handle my relationships moving forward. Yes, there is a lot of experience that you can learn from, but please, let's not put ourselves in a place of condemnation and further dig a hole that we get stuck in that affects us and all of our family for the rest of our lives. Amen? So if you're in here, maybe you have gone through that. Come on, let's get out of that pit today, and let's begin to look forward to what God has for your life, because I believe God can give you some healthy relationships. Amen. I really believe that. Now you can elbow your neighbor and say, we got to have some healthy relationships. Come on, elbow, help me preach this thing. It's getting a little heavy in here. So what I want to share with you today is what I would consider 4 checkpoints for relationships. Now, this will work for any relationship. It can be for a relationship maybe with somebody you work with your son, your daughter. It can be with you and your spouse. It could be with you and your parents even. This is just some things that I've learned and some things even that I've used through the years helping people to deal with some relational conflict, okay? And some of you who've been around me, you've heard some of this before, and you could probably come and preach it. But I want to share this with you because I really believe it's going to help you. The first checkpoint that I think we need to come to is the assessment checkpoint. And this is where we ask the question, what is going on? Now, I know how you ask that question. What is going on here? That's not how we're going to ask that question now. Okay? That's a communication problem. What we want to do is this. We want to evaluate and assess what the struggle really is. Like, we got to see what the struggle really is, because what you think it might be, it might not be. And that's a problem, because you can put so much work into trying to fix a problem that's not really there that you create a whole nother problem. Anybody ever been there before? And next thing you know, you're creating this problem, trying to solve that problem, and now you got 2 problems. And it just feels like this stuff starts to multiply on you. And so we really have to sit down and assess what is going on here. And not just find out the what, but also find out the why. Because there's a lot of people who fix the what and never fix the why, and it cycles again and again and again because they never really assessed what was really going on in that situation. Be careful, though. Watch this. We have a tendency in this at this checkpoint to go into full investigation mode. Like really investigating, trying to find every single thing that without realizing it, we turn into a judge and we become very, very judgmental in this state because we start seeing things because now we're looking at it like we've never looked at it before and we think that we have found the problem. Oh, I found it. This is what I'm realizing about you. And we start talking louder when we say that. I think we're just, I don't know, motivated because we found an answer. But we start judging. But at this point, this is not where you want to judge. You want to use good judgment. When you start judging, you now put yourself in the place of being God. This is where you're trying to control and even manipulate the relationship. But this is where we've got to come into this discussion, this communication season, where we're looking at really what's going on and realizing that I can't just go in assuming that she's the problem and she can't come in just assuming I'm the problem. I've got to look at the possibility that, hey, I might be wrong. I might be the one who is wrong here. And even though I'm looking and sitting pretty, I could have the problem. But we won't know that unless we assess it and really, really look at it for what it is. And whenever we begin to investigate, it's very easy to begin to see what's going on with them. And so rather pulling out a magnifying glass to look at them, pull out a mirror and check yourself before you wreck yourself. Like, look in the mirror and look at yourself and really see, why is this? Because maybe this has happened before, and maybe it's happened before that. Listen, if it's happened several times and you were involved, I'm just saying, it might, could, maybe be you. Just saying. It would be a lot better for you to look in the mirror and realize you got a little something in your nose than for you to be in public standing in front of everybody and nobody tell you about it till you get home. Am I right? Okay. Is there something going on that could be causing the problem? Sometimes the relationship struggle has nothing to do with the relationship. Maybe it's something else going on in that person's life, but you just think that it's a relationship problem. Maybe that person is just going through something and they haven't really told you yet. And it's not because they're keeping it from you. Maybe they're just scared to tell you. It can be affecting the relationship. And it's very easy because of our investigation and our fears to start reading into what's really going on. And now because of our creative imaginations, we've turned it into something that it's not even happening. That's why we got to do some good assessment, checking yourself. Maybe it's your expectations. Maybe it's your past. Maybe it's some patterns in your life. Maybe just like we talked week one, maybe it's just your perspective. Maybe that week, it just was a bad week for you. Maybe some things happened on the outside and now it's affecting your marriage. Maybe it's affecting you and your son because just something happened at the ballpark and now you're just riding them. Maybe it has nothing to do with the relationship. Maybe there's something else that happened. We have to look at this to find out the why before we start thinking, oh, we had an argument. Our marriage is falling apart. Listen, two strong people in a marriage, you will argue. Go ahead and just breathe out, okay? Because some of you are like, you will. We got to get away from this, like, this antibacterial lifestyle where everything is so clean and it's not like that. And I hope you, listen, I hope you don't think that Cynthia and I, we're just talking like Mr. Rogers to each other. You know, Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, some of you don't even know what that is, but the rest of us, we know. I mean, he talked nice and politically correct all the time, and we don't do that. And there are days where we got to just get some things straight between us, if you know what I mean. But the end result is we're going to love each other anyway. Now, we need to talk about it. We're going to love each other afterwards. And I'm, you know, I might be quiet for a little while. Come on this side. Here's another thing in assessment. When you're assessing, sometimes you need some help from the outside. And most people don't want to do this one because they don't want people to know their business. Can I just say this? If you don't get somebody in before the marriage ends, everybody's going to know your business after it ends. And I want to say that with a little bit of pastoral authority, because I've seen too many people that tried to go incognito with dealing with their relationship problems, and it implodes. And it causes so much more damage. And all along, they could have got someone from the outside to help mediate to find out the why on this thing. But they didn't, because they were too prideful and they were afraid that someone would know something about them. Can I just say this? It's not a matter of everybody knowing what's going on in your life, because everybody's got junk in their life. Can we just take off the religious mask? Can we quit acting like one person's got it going on and you don't? And just realize that everybody's got some things that they are working through. And this is one of those stages where you got to get some help. And I would say this, if you got a relationship that's been going back and forth and you want that relationship to work, but the communication between you and them just isn't working out, you probably ought to get a mediator. You probably ought to have somebody that can help mediate that, someone who can be clear and objective with what's going on. And I would consider a mediator. I would consider a counselor. I would consider a pastor. Evaluate the relationship to look at it to see what's really going on. Because sometimes our perspective is so skewed to what's hurting us that we can't even see what's going on in the relationship. Amen? We got to get some help. So evaluate the relationship. Here's a question you need to ask. Do I need this relationship? Now, if you're married, you do. And I know there are extreme situations here. When there's infidelity in the marriage, when there's abuse and stuff, I get that. But when it's just you versus them because you don't like what he's doing, he don't like what you're doing, we can work through that stuff, amen? And I've seen even in the most extreme cases where the Lord works through it, amen? So let's not just say it don't work like that because it didn't work for me, but let's always leave the door open for God to do a miracle, amen? Can we do that? And let's not all just think because it worked for you that it's going to work for them too. Amen? It's a little quiet in here. Do I need this relationship? Is it time to move on? Here's another question. Do I need to make a better investment in this relationship? Do I need to change? Don't burn a bridge, but also don't disconnect from a lifeline. Don't burn that bridge and don't disconnect from that lifeline. Amen? So that's the first checkpoint, assessment. I didn't know that one was going to take that long, but that was good. Second one is agreement. Agreement. And this is where we ask the question, what do you think? What do you think? And it's obvious, listen, the most obvious things in your relationship is going to be the disagreements. But you don't even realize how many times you do agree. And here's the other thing. We don't even celebrate all the agreements that we do make. Like today when you leave from church, if you can agree on where you're going to eat, that's a win. Because that disagreement, listen, let me tell you why. That disagreement could turn into the straw that breaks the camel's back. It could be the last, that's my last straw. Can't take anything. We can't even agree on eating at a pizza restaurant. Can we find agreement? Knowing that you're not going to agree on everything. You're probably not, as married people, you're probably not going to agree on everything. Raising kids in your house. Listen, yesterday we had some disagreement in the family. And we were going to the movies. And you say, you shouldn't tell people that. It's just what happens. So what do? We work to find agreement. That's what we're doing. We're trying to find agreement, and then let's celebrate the agreements that we have. And I've found over and over that these disagreements, really, it's just differences in opinion, differences in perspectives, but yet we're letting these disagreements define what our relationships look like. If you invite me to go eat salad with you, I mean, I'm going to come, but I'm not going to enjoy it as much as you will. But if you invite me to eat steak, I'm in. My whole attitude is different. I'm serious. It's just, I love it. It's great. Anyway, I got to move on. Disagreements do not mean that the relationship has to end. Just because there's a disagreement doesn't mean that it's over between you two. Okay? Communicate to find some things you can agree on. Can you talk to each other without just talking about the disagreement? Can you find some things that we do agree on? And you will find, wow, we agree on a lot. But that one disagreement, it just seems to overshadow it all. That's why agreement is so important, okay? This is what you need to know. Every agreement is another connection. Every time that I agree with her on something, every time she agrees with me on something, there's a greater connection being made. Every time I sit down with a friend and we can agree on something, we're connecting and we're getting closer. And what we're doing is we're building a foundation for trust. One disagreement, though, seems like it can do as much as all those agreements together. It can undo it all, am I right? Just over one disagreement. That's why I say our perspective has to change, because if we're not careful, we will have one disagreement and let it define the whole relationship, when all along there were a ton of things that we did agree on. Okay? Agreement is huge. Matthew 18, 19, it says, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. That's the power of agreement. That even Jesus would throw it in there. If two of you can come together and agree, ask anything in my name and I will do it for you. Some of you in your marriages, you just can't agree. You're praying, but you're not agreeing. You need to come to some agreement instead of saying it's your fault. Let's just say, hey, we got a problem. And let's just agree that our marriage needs to be saved. Come together. Jesus, we are asking you to save us. Instead of, God, you better change him. You better shut that woman up, Lord. Come on. That's one of those verses, you know, in the Bible, Jesus said, how long must I put up with them? He did say that, by the way. I think that's where that verse would apply. Anyway, watch this. Without agreement, we will not give that person access to our life. Without agreement. We don't give them access to our life. Okay? The more we agree, the more likely we are to trust. If we don't have trust, we don't have a relationship. So whatever you disagree about, here's some questions you need to ask. Is it a deal breaker? Is this disagreement bringing you to the point that this is a deal breaker? Like this is the end of this. Is this going to be where you decide to go separate ways? But before you decide to go separate ways, you need to consider the investment that you've already made in that relationship. And you got to ask yourself, is it worth all the investment that was made? Is it worth walking away from? Is it worth all the years and all the work that I put into it, giving it up over this disagreement? Can you even agree to disagree? Can we reach the point of, watch this, I'm going to throw this on you. Can we reach the point of maturity that we can just agree to disagree on it? Here's the next one. We got assessment, what's going on, agreement, what do you think? The third one is alignment. Where are we going? Where are we going? Okay? Are we headed in the same direction? And when I say the same direction, this is what I mean. Are we headed in the right direction? Because you could be headed in the same direction going the wrong way. And it feels good. But it's going to happen. It's going to affect your relationship if you're going the wrong way. So the alignment is, am I doing this God's way? Are we handling this relationship God's way? Or can we get on the same page and agree that in order for this relationship to work, we need to follow through with God's ways instead of doing what you say, instead of doing what I say all the time? Let's see what God says and both commit to going in that direction. Can we make that commitment with our relationships? That's alignment. You ever had a car that had a wheel out of alignment? What does it do? It pulls. That's what's happening in these relationships when there's no order, when there's no alignment, when we're not doing it together. It's literally, look, pulling us apart. And it's because we're on different pages. And a lot of this is going back to some good old communication. Just sitting down and talking to say, where are we going? See, I can't just think of me. I have to think of us. When I look at the church, I can't just think of me. I have to think of us. When I look at my children, I can't just think of me. I can't even just think of them. I have to think of us, because those relationships are so important and there has to be alignment. And if there's not alignment, we're going to get pulled in every direction. How's the alignment in your marriage? How's the alignment in your relationships with people? How's the alignment in the relationship with your children? And watch this. I know some of you are older. How's the alignment with your in the relationship with your parents even? Because listen, there's an order to this, and there's a blessing that comes with honoring our parents. And listen, you might not agree, but that doesn't mean you don't honor. He says, honor your father and mother that it may go well. And sometimes it's just as simple as changing the way you view them that can change your marriage and can change you as a parent. Could change a lot of things in your life. Alignment. Philippians 3, and I need to hurry. He says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Watch this. Forgetting the past and look forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree. Let us agree on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you, but we must hold on to the progress we've already made. If we can find agreement, we can get alignment. And the more you look at what you agree on, the more you start aligning yourselves together. The more you sit there and realize and talk and you realize, hey, we agree on this. We agree on that. We agree on this. That's where you want to score keep. That's where you, oh my goodness, we agree on a lot of stuff and there's only like three or four things that we disagree on. That's where you step back and say, do I really want to throw this relationship away over those three things that we disagree about? Alignment. We're reestablishing trust when we align. We're establishing commitment. We're going in the same direction. Here's the last one. The fourth one is accomplishment. What are we doing? What are we doing? I believe God puts us together in relationships to accomplish something. He puts us together with those people to accomplish great things for Him. Are we building each other up or are we tearing each other down? What are we building? What are we doing here? Are we setting this family up to achieve something for God? Or are we just trying to be the latest, greatest, best looking, got it going on family there is? What are we doing here? Are we moving forward with purpose? I'm going to remind you earlier what we read. Two are better than one, for they can help each other succeed. Together we can accomplish great things. Think of what God can do, not just through you, but you in that person. Think of what God could do through you and your family. Think of what God can do through your children. Think of how important your relationship to them would be, encouraging them, covering them in prayer, setting them up to do what God's called them to do. Think of the possibilities of what God can do through relationships. Think about Jesus when he sent his disciples out. He didn't send them going solo. He sent them out in groups of two in relationship because he knew that two is a better return than one. He sent them out together. Together. That's why relationships are so important. When we moved here, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anyone. It was a scary place. But now I have relationships with so many people here. And listen, all my friends out there, the people that I get to do life with, I'm thankful that I have you in my life because I'm a better person because I have a relationship with you. I promise you, I'm a better pastor because of my relationship with you. And I'll say it like this, I need you. I need you. And you need me. That's the power of relationships. And because of all the cloud, the dark cloud that hangs over marriages, and because of the dark cloud that is hanging over raising kids, and the dark cloud that even hangs over churches, I'm here today to tell you that Jesus can calm the storm. Jesus can move the mountain. He can heal the relationship. In fact, he was so emphatic about a relationship with you that he did not spare any expense so that he can have you as his son and daughter. So he sent his most prized possession, the most incredible person there was, Jesus, and hung him on a cross so that he can embrace you and you just experience this eternal life with him, because the relationship is what he wanted all along. He wanted the relationship. And for us who understand a relationship with God, I believe that we should be able to understand having a relationship with each other as well. Amen. And I believe that we can put good effort into our relationships and make some good investments and build some healthy and strong friendships. Amen. Some healthy and strong marriages. Some healthy and strong relationships between us and our kids and our kids and the parents. I believe that we can have some incredible relationships that we can look at that will be an influence on our children, on our children's children, and even the people all around us. Amen. I believe that we can do it, but it starts right here. It starts with me saying, what's really going on here? Instead of thinking it's all of them, I got to check myself. Maybe you're struggling with a relationship today. Maybe it's something going on in you. Maybe it's a wound from your past. Maybe it's something that happened to you that you haven't been able to forgive. Maybe it was a comment. Maybe it was rejection. Maybe it was abuse. Maybe it was that divorce. It could be so many things that is shaping how you view relationships today, that you can't let your guard down because you have to be careful, and because of that, your relationships are struggling. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're evaluating some relationships, and I just want you, just take a moment right here and just bow your head and close your eyes, and I want you to think through some relationships. Come on, this is a ministry moment right here. I don't want to miss this. Maybe you're looking at some relationships and you know that there are some relationships that you no longer need. And it's very hard because you've always wanted to be that loyal friend. But you're at the point in your life where you're realizing that I can't take that step that God wants me to take because of that relationship. I'm afraid of what they're going to think. I'm afraid of what they're going to say. So you're holding on to it. But maybe you have a relationship that you've neglected. Maybe a relationship that you took advantage of. You know, it's one thing to be hurt in a relationship. It's another thing to be the person that does the hurting. Today, this is what I want to encourage you to do today. Because we can't fix it all in a sermon. But we can take a step in the right direction. And the first step I believe that we have to take is this, is our relationship with God. And I know you're in church. I know that you believe, but I want to ask you, how is your relationship with God? And not the pretty picture that we paint on Sunday. I'm talking about the everyday life. How is your relationship with Him? Do you have a good relationship with God? Are you praying? Are you communicating with God? Are you worshiping? Because if that relationship isn't working, it's going to have an effect on a lot of others. And maybe today that's the step that you need to take. For some of us, the step that we have to take in that relationship is simply going to that person and saying, I'm sorry. Letting forgiveness flow. I'm sorry. Maybe you said some things and you thought it just all went away, but you can feel the conflict in your marriage. You can feel it in that relationship. Maybe you just need to say, I'm sorry. And the whole, I ain't saying I'm sorry till they say I'm sorry. Come on. What do we want here? Can I say this? That relationship with your husband and wife, it's worth it. Relationship with that child, that son, that daughter, that mom, that dad, it's worth it. Some of that conflict that you're having with that good friend who's just trying to hold you accountable, don't burn that bridge. Don't burn that bridge. Listen, maybe they have your back and you don't realize it. Today, if you're here and you're not where you need to be with God, you say, Pastor Wade, my relationship with God is not where it needs to be. I'm away from Him. I want to pray with you today. If that's you, real quick, would you slip a hand up and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Come on, anyone else? Some of you, you're looking for healing in your souls. This is where it begins. Anyone else? There are several hands that have been raised. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, that relationship with God, I'm not where I need to be. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Okay. Can we pray this prayer together this morning? All of us out loud, along with those who raised their hands, say, Dear Lord, thank you that you paid the ultimate price by laying down your life so that you can have a relationship with me. It was my decisions, my sins, that separated me from you. But you came to make a way so that I can know you. So today I confess that I have done wrong, that I'm a sinner, and I need your grace. So I ask you to forgive me and make me a brand new person, changed from the inside out. I want to have a relationship with you. God, I want you to be my Father. So I commit my life to you today. And I thank you that you adopt me into your family. And you call me your own. And from this day forward, I'm a brand new person. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Come on, can we give the Lord praise this morning?